that Seattle Panthers game is going to be
It needs
ridiculous.
To be the late game.
I know
hate
it does.
When they make the best game. The early game.
That doesn't make sense.
People need to get home from church.
Yes, like you.
Taking the kids out to museums and other things early in the morning. Brunch.
Come on, man.
It should be the 3 o'clock game. Get it right, NFL.
It's the future.
Down and distance. It's on WGNRadio.com.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome into Down the Distance. Jared Payton alongside my man Sean M. Davis on Twitter. It's that time. The NFL playoffs are here, Sean, so we got to talk about it. But you and I, we don't have a lot of NFL experience. I have a little bit. I think you have a little bit. But let's talk with somebody that has a lot of NFL experience. Let's talk to a Hall of Famer, right? My man and good friend of mine and friend of the program, Warren Moon. Warren, welcome into Down the Distance. How you doing, sir?
I'm doing great this morning, Jared. How's everybody back there in the Midwest?
You know what? We're doing well. Everybody's got their jackets on, their hats on, and it's getting a little bit cold here, but probably not as cold as it was in Minnesota last weekend, right?
Man, it was painfully cold. I mean, when you get down around minus 20 wind chill, it's pretty cold. You shouldn't even be out in that weather. And I don't know how those guys gutted through that football game, but you got to give both teams a lot of credit for the way they played in that game. And the survivor, it was like the survival of the fittest. Whoever had the ball last and whoever could survive that weather and the conditions were the one who was going to win the football game. So it was a great game to watch, a great game to be a part of, but I'm glad we're out of there.
Yeah, I mean, it really was. You look at the road teams last weekend just really making the charge, and when you look at all the teams that lost, do you think that Minnesota loss was more crushing than any of the other losses?
I think all playoff losses are crushing. Whenever you lose in the playoffs, that means you go home and it's over. And I think just the way that Minnesota lost, yeah, because the kicker missed the field goal that everybody thought he should have made. But, you know, execution is part of football, and a lot of things have to happen right on a field goal attempt for it to be successful. The snap has to be good. The hold has to be good. The plant has to be good by the kicker. And the wind and the weather has something to do with it. So I think all of those things contributed to him missing that field goal, even though it was one that everybody thought he should have made.
We had another crazy ending in the Cincinnati Bengals and Pittsburgh Steelers matchup over the weekend. Talk about the breakdown or the meltdown with the Cincinnati Bengals and whether or not you thought the referees handled the situation correct and whether or not the personal foul was accurately called in that situation.
Well, I think the which personal foul?
The personal foul on the targeting?
The targeting,
but then the Adam Pac-Man Jones call when he got into it with Joey Porter as he came onto the field.
Yeah, I think whenever you try and either throw a punch or push somebody or whatever, they're going to call something like that, especially if they're right there and you do it right in their face. They're not going to turn away from that. Joey Porter should have never been on the field. There's no question about that. He should have been penalized on that play as well. I think that was probably the only error. There should have been offsetting penalties on those personal fouls, and maybe it would have only given Pittsburgh 15 yards as opposed to 30 yards. But other than that, I'm sure the officials were trying to keep the game under control because those two teams had a history of getting after each other and being very rough in their play, and they just wanted to keep a lid on the thing at the end. And it's just too bad it ended like that because that was a good football game. Both teams battled hard. They're both division teams. They know each other very well, don't like each other. But you got to keep your composure down the stretch, and that's what filled the coffin for Cincinnati. They didn't keep their composure.
Warren, when you look at the situation, a lot of people were talking about just Marvin Lewis and everything that's going on. But when you look at the playoff record, 0-7, there's a lot of people out there that are thinking now that maybe there's a time for a change. Is he still the head coach and the guy that can help this team get over that playoff drought that they've been on for such a long time?
You know, I hope so, because Marvin's an excellent coach. He took over that situation way back when and really turned them into a very competitive football team. And they've had some bad luck in the playoffs. Andy Dalton hasn't played very well the last few years. This year they lose Andy Dalton, who's possibly having his best season, and he loses his quarterback right at the end of the year. So that doesn't help you if you're trying to win playoff games when you have to play with your backup. But I thought A.J. McCarron did a pretty nice job, but who knows what would have happened if Andy would have been playing. So it's really tough that was a game they should have won, and they had control of it. They fumbled the football when they had possession of it with under a minute left to play, and they also had the meltdown with the composure. So they were in position to win that game. They just have to finish it out, and that's the coach can't take all that responsibility. The players have to take a lot of that responsibility for finishing plays out.
Staying in the AFC, this week's matchups, very intriguing. Kansas City goes up to New England. New England with the health issues all year. Tom Brady, his leg, will he be healthy? Kansas City, one of the hottest teams in the NFL. And then Pittsburgh goes out to Denver. Give us your thoughts on those games and whether or not the trend of the home team losing the previous weekend will change this weekend.
Well, there's a lot of storylines that you just talked about right there. And I think the first one with Denver, I think Peyton Manning deserves a start if he's healthy. His experience, what he's done in the playoffs, I think the fact that he came off the bench, you know, a couple of weeks ago and helped his team win that football game, if he's healthy, he should be the starter. And then if he is ineffective, then you've got Brock Osweiler, a guy that you know has played enough this year that you know what he can do. But I would start Peyton Manning before I would start the young guy, because Peyton's not used to being a backup where Brock Osweiler is used to being a backup and coming into the football game. As far as Kansas City, well, that's Pittsburgh going to Denver. So, yeah, the big question is going to be whether Antonio Brown comes out of concussion protocol or not, and if Ben Roethlisberger is close to 100%. If they're saying he has torn ligaments in his shoulder, I don't see how he can really be effective throwing the football down the football field. But, you know, I think sometimes having just his presence out there on the field, if he's able to do anything, will help their football team. But if Antonio Brown can't play, they do have other weapons on the outside, but Antonio is a very, very effective one, and he had a big game against Denver the last time they played. So it's going to be tough if both of those guys can't play or one of them is not that effective.
Warren, when you look at the Packers, I mean, kind of limping into the playoffs this season, but getting in and playing pretty well as they started to find their mojo against the Redskins. But now, do you see them? And a lot of people talk about, you know, Packers fans, and Aaron Rodgers says, just relax, everybody. Should Packer fans relax, or should there be some concern, especially offensively with that offensive line for the Packers going into this Cards game?
Yeah, they've still got to have huge concerns because they just played against the Arizona Cardinals about 3 weeks ago, and they got their clocks cleaned by Arizona. The game wasn't close. They knocked Aaron Rodgers around, sacked him about nine times, scored two touchdowns on defense, one on an interception, one on fumble recovery. So even though they played pretty decently against the Washington Redskins, Arizona's a team that's very well rested. They have a really good defense. They come at you from a lot of different angles with a lot of different blitzes. And you're going to have to be able to run the football against Arizona if you're going to keep them off balance. Because if you become one-dimensional, they have a ton of different blitzes that they can bring pressure on Aaron Rodgers and make it a very tough afternoon for him. So I think Eddie Lacy is going to be a huge part of what they do this weekend. And their defense is going to have to eliminate the big play, something they haven't done a great job of this year.
The Kansas City Chiefs, their defense has been dominant. They're the hottest team in the NFL. It's a New England Patriots team that has faced adversity the entire season. The question of Tom Brady and his knee being healthy, do the Chiefs have enough defense to keep it close and then enough offense from Alex Smith and the rest of his receiving core that might be minus Jeremy Maclin?
Yeah, their defense is going to be key against Tom Brady. How much pressure can they put on him? How much can they harass him? And having Julian Edelman back in the lineup, if he's effective, he's a guy that can get open really quickly, and it doesn't allow Tom Brady to have to hold the football that long. And that's something he's had to do since Edelman's injury, is he's had to hold the ball longer with an offensive line that's pretty subpar right now. So if Edelman can get back in, he gets open on a lot of those quick throws where Tom gets it out of his hands and Edelman makes nice runs after the catch. But if he's not able to play or if he's not effective, it could be a long day for Tom, because Kansas City can put a lot of pressure on you with their front four. They have really good cover guys in the back end. But the key, I think, to me for Kansas City's defense is whoever is guarding Julian Edelman, their nickelback, they're going to have to do a great job against him, because that's where Tom wants to go with the football. I have no problem with out on the corner, because Kansas City has two excellent corners out there that can cover anybody. But it's those inside players that are going to be key. And Kansas City's got to figure out how they're going to maybe have to deal with the loss of Jeremy Maclin if he can't play, if he's not, you know, very effective. He has a high ankle sprain, don't know if he's going to be able to go or not. because he's a big part of their offense. You know, he went over 1,000 yards receiving this year. I think he had something like 10 touchdowns. So you miss that in an offense that doesn't have a lot of star power.
Part two, Clash of the Titans. We get part two.
Uh-oh.
Everybody's been waiting for this matchup.
I have been.
Everybody's been waiting for this matchup. Mr. Warren Mooney's going to get a chance to call it Sunday, 12 o'clock in Carolina. Knowing who you are and what you mean to this game and what you've meant to a lot of African-American kids growing up, knowing that you accomplished what you accomplished and they could play the same position that you played at a high level, how much pride will you have being able to look down on that field on Sunday and see those two generals leading their teams in this matchup?
You know what? I have pride every time I see these two guys play, and especially when they play against each other. Believe it or not, this is the seventh time they're going to play against each other since they've both been in the league. We've played them, it seems like, every year since Russell's been in the year, and we've played them twice in the playoffs. So far, Cam's won one, Russell's won five, and hopefully we'll win another one this weekend. But it's going to be a tough road to hoe because Carolina is a very confident team right now. They have the best record in football. They're very well rested. They do have some concerns in the secondary. A couple of guys have gone down, so they aren't as strong back there. But defensively, their front seven is as good as anybody in football, and it should be a heck of a game because the Seahawks are playing great defense right now. Their defense is number one against the run, number one overall against scoring. So it's going to be a heck of a game. And the game that they played earlier this season in Seattle, Cam brought them back in the fourth quarter and beat us 27-23. So I look for another game like that. Every time we've played them, it's been a very close game. It always comes right down to the end. This will be the matchup of the weekend, no question about it.
You know, Warren, I'm with you. I've been waiting for this game and just over the week, just kind of pacing back and forth. And when you look at this game, I guess if you had this game maybe a year ago, everybody would be talking about Marshawn Lynch and where is he? Is he going to be able to play if this was last year? But we're starting to see the dynamics of this team kind of change of being underneath Russell Wilson. And this team has been 8-2 without him this season. If he can play, if that was the case, how much of a factor do you put into Marshawn Lynch playing this game? And can he be a factor being a game changer, even with the injury?
See, I think this football team, what they do is they really bounce back and play with whoever's out there. They've done a great job of that, you know, ever since Pete has been here. It's always about the next man up, and it doesn't matter who's not there. The next guy always has to just step up and play, and that's how it's been since Marshawn has been gone. We saw Thomas Rawls emerge when Marshawn went down, and he gained 800-and-something yards before he got hurt. And then now it's Christian Michael's turn, and he had a 100-yard game a couple of weeks ago against Arizona and a solid game last week against Minnesota in the cold. So if Marshawn Lynch can come back this week, that definitely will help our football team. It makes us stronger to have a guy like him on the team. But I think this team feels like right now, whoever is out there, we're going to be all right. As long as number three is the guy that's leading them, you know, that's been the consistent for this football team since he's been here. He hasn't missed a game, and as long as he's on the field, I think this team feels like they have a chance to win because he's that type of player that makes those type of plays down the stretch. So with the defense that we have, with the running game just being a little bit effective and the fact that, you know, Russell can make big plays when he needs to, they feel confident about who's ever running the football.
I have to switch it up a little bit and talk about maybe some teams that aren't playing and a player that I think everybody has been talking about that is kind of magnified, you know, just has this aura about him, and he plays the quarterback position in Cleveland. Johnny Manziel, you played the position, and it really seems like he needs some type of mentoring to be able to help him out. We saw what he could do in college, but we know once you get to the pro level, it's a totally different game of how you prepare, how you become a pro. If you had an opportunity to talk with that young man, what would be the first thing that you would say to him? Because it seems like now that it could be, once Cleveland's done, if maybe the Cowboys don't pick him up, that it might not be a deal. He might not be playing football anymore.
Yeah, but you know how the NFL is. If you have abilities, somehow, some way, somebody will think they can bring him in there and change him and be the difference. And that's what people in this league do. They feel like if we get him in our environment, maybe some of those things will change. We'll manage him a little bit better. But, you know, Johnny Manziel, the first thing I would ask him is, how important is football to you? You know, how important is being great to you? How important is your legacy to you, all these different things. Because right now it just doesn't seem like football is as important to him as it should be, especially at the quarterback position. It seems like having a good time right now is more important. And for a quarterback, it's almost more about the perception of what type of leader you are than it is about the player that you are. There's a lot of great quarterbacks in this league, but there's a lot of quarterbacks that are just, you know, good, but they still have to have that same persona. They still have to be leaders. They still have to be looked at as guys that that are leaders of your football team and carry themselves the right way, carry themselves with class, not doing things that bring disruption to the football team, not doing things that are going to bring controversy to your football team. And Johnny is not those things right now. And I don't know if you can rely on a guy like that to be your leader, to be the guy that's going to be the face of your franchise, and even though he's a really good athlete as a football player. So those would be the things that I would ask him if I had a chance to talk to him.
Last April 22nd, 2015, Warren, the U.S. District Court for the Eastern District of Pennsylvania, they entered a final order and judgment approving the NFL concussion settlement. You have come to the forefront of this settlement and educating the former players that are out there. 5,000 of those players have representation. Just talk about what you're doing with ForThePlayers.com and how you're educating former NFL players on how they need to go about making sure they're getting taken care of via the NFL concussion settlement.
Yeah, you know, the concussion settlement is going to be finalized here any time now. It's in appeal right now, and once it comes out of appeal, there's going to be about 180 days for players that qualify for this concussion settlement, which is basically all the retired players that are out there. They have to get all their paperwork done and their medical work done within that 6-month period, and if they don't, they miss out on this opportunity. So we've developed the ForThePlayers.com website and also a 1-800 number, 844-84-PLAYERS, for players, retired players and their families to have a information resource on all the information they're going to need as far as the process to go through to get this compensation. There's a lot of players out there struggling with injuries from football, guys that can't keep a job because of those injuries, guys that can't afford their medical payments because of football, and that's what this concussion settlement was set up for. But they have to know what the process is in order to get that compensation, and it's a very difficult process if they don't have the right legal representation and if they don't do it correctly and in a timely manner. So that's why we've set up this information source to make sure these guys who deserve this compensation don't miss out on this opportunity. So I just encourage all retired players out there and their families, because their families are a big part of this too, because they're going to benefit from this, especially if they have a player who you know, is disabled or whatever it might be. They need to know this information as well, and we need to spread that word around to as many guys as they can to get this information, because the NFL is not going to tell you how to get the money. They're going to provide the money through the settlement, but they're not going to tell you exactly how to get it. So that's why we're out there trying to do that.
And I'm glad you're doing that, because most people, a fan just like me, would think the settlement's done, you're going to get a check in the mail in about a week, and that's not the way it goes.
No, that's not how it goes. And I think a lot of players think that too, that the check is going to come in the mail. Or there's a lot of other guys that think, I never had a concussion, so I'm not eligible for this, and that's not true either. If you get any of the five different symptom levels, which is stage one dementia, stage two dementia, or Parkinson's or Alzheimer's or ALS or even death, you are going to get some type of compensation from it. So if you don't have any symptoms right now, like I do, I don't have any symptoms, but I had 6 concussions, you need to get a baseline test. So when you do get some symptoms down the road, then they know exactly what your baseline is, and they'll know how to determine that. So all of that needs to be done, and I think everybody is pretty much eligible for it if they've had at least 1 year in the league, if these symptoms come into your life.
Warren, did you see the concussion movie? And if so, what were your thoughts on how Will Smith did in the movie?
You know, I have not seen the movie, only because I kind of lived it. You know, I kind of lived during that time. Dave Durson was a good friend of mine with the Chicago Bears. Junior Seau was on the board of his foundation that took his life as well. So I know about what those guys dealt with. I also know about all the guys that I know that played during the time with me and before me, how they're suffering from all these injuries. So I didn't really need to see the movie to kind of relive that, because that movie is all about the past.
Well, Warren, we appreciate your time as always. We definitely will talk to you again.
And make sure to go to fortheplayers.com. That's 844-84-PLAYERS. Fortheplayers.com for that information for all former NFL players that need to go ahead and register.
Warren, I look forward to seeing you soon, and we'll definitely talk soon as well. Have a great day, and have a good time on that nice little trip because it's a little bit warmer than it is here in Chicago.
All right, guys. Thanks for having me on, and look forward to talking to you down the road sometime.
All right, thanks. That's Warren Moon here on Down in Distance. As always, we try to convert, doing what we got to do. Man, always great to sit and talk with one of the legends, like one of the legends. And just to hear him say one thing that jumped off to me was, I didn't see the movie because why? Because I lived it.
Yeah,
he lived it through that time. And so, you know, a lot of these players don't really understand, Sean, that there is an opportunity, and to be able to be an advocate for everything that's going on. For a guy that said he's not really dealing with those symptoms but had six concussions, I mean, that's what all that he probably knows about.
But it's great to see a guy like him. He's good.
Yeah.
He's good financially.
Oh, yeah.
He talked about being good health-wise. He doesn't have any long-term symptoms, none of the five things that he talked about, but he's going about it and getting a baseline test to see if there's something there that he can combat before it grows into something even bigger. And while he's doing that, he's at the forefront of making sure that former NFL players, I said 200,000, is actually 20,000 former NFL players out there. Only 5,000 have representation. So that's huge. That's only 25%. No, that's 25%. Yeah, 25% of all former NFL players have representation and know about the NFL settlement and the stages they have to go through, because they're not cutting you a check.
No, you're not going to get that in the mail. You're not going to wake up one morning and go down to your mailbox and be like,
doesn't work like that.
Got me a check.
And how many guys are probably sitting there having somebody go to the mailbox every day thinking like, did it come yet? It didn't come yet.
Yeah. It's a weird deal, but it's always great to be able to talk to one of the greats of the game, a Hall of Famer. And you like that. And I love listening to him and to see how he's kind of transitioned himself into staying with the game. He was here a couple of years ago, and we were at a dinner together. I got a chance to sit down and talk with him and just pick his brain about everything that's going on in the NFL. And he was just talking to me how the NFL has changed so much, you know, in the sense of the dollars that the guys are getting and everything else. I mean, there's just so much going on that is. It's a totally different game. I always wonder what my dad would think about the game right now and how it is, especially when you look at the running back position, right?
Yeah.
It's kind of like
he's changed.
Talked about it about Marshawn Lynch. I mean, you look 8-2 without Marshawn Lynch this year. We know how big he was last year. If he gets the handoff in the Super Bowl,
they probably win,
right? Now it's kind of like he's like an afterthought, and they're moving on with whoever needs to come in and step in. That Seattle and Panthers game is going to be ridiculous.
Needs to be the late game.
I know
I hate
it does.
When they make the best game.
The early game. That doesn't make sense.
People need to get home from church.
Yeah, it's like you
taking the kids out to museums and other things early in the morning. Brunch.
Come on, man.
It should be the 3 o'clock game. Get it right, NFL.
I know. It's not good. I'm upset. A lot of stuff going on. Down in Distance here, Jared Payton alongside my man Sean Davis, SD2 Mikes.
Right.
I don't like how you changed your Twitter handle, man.
Had to.
No, you didn't.
My life changed.
What do you mean?
My life changed, so I had to change it.
Your first Twitter account was your name. Sean M. Davis 1.
Yeah.
I mean, I knew who you were. Now it's like,
I got to be a 1 anymore.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's, you know what? I'm just glad you didn't put like an underscore in there somewhere.
No, never
like
would
that.
Do that.
Don't do that.
Just simply SD2 Mikes.
All right, let's talk about the national championship game.
Down at Distance, we always convert.